Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I just wanted to come and give you all some encouragement because maybe you're walking with somebody who's going through a storm, or maybe you're going through a storm, and I truly believe that God has some incredible wisdom and encouragement for those of us who are navigating the storms of life right now. And so I just want to pray. Can I pray, and then we can jump into this? Is that okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you just for giving me the opportunity to speak on your behalf, just to be a God steward of your word. And I pray that this word would encourage hearts right now, that you would carry it into the hearts and the minds of the people sitting out here tonight, today, God. And I pray that they would just be encouraged, Lord, that you would break some shackles, Lord, that are holding people down, that you would lift the spirits of anyone who has been drowning as of late. And so, God, I need you in this moment to speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I am a sports fan, and I love boxing. A brutal sport, love it. I don't know. It's just, pray for me. I'm a work in progress. But one of my favorite boxers was Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was one of the greatest to do it. Not the most humble guy in the world, but that's okay. You know, God's working on us all. He's working on us. But one particular story always makes me laugh. He was on a flight, and he was talking to the person next to him, and the flight attendant came up to him and said, "Mr. Ali, sir, can you please buckle your seatbelt? The plane's about to take off." And he's like, yeah, give me a second. I'm going to buckle it. And, you know, they continue in their conversation. He doesn't buckle his seatbelt, and the plane's about to take off. And the flight attendant comes back and says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Ali, sir, can you please buckle your seatbelt? Plane's about to take off." He's like, "Yeah, I got you. Finish my conversation." So continues talking, and as he's talking, the plane starts rolling. And the flight attendant says, "I'm sorry, Mr. Ali, the plane is rolling. Can you please buckle your seatbelt?" And he looks at the flight attendant and says, "Let me tell you something. Superman don't need no seatbelt." And the flight attendant says, "Okay, Superman don't need no plane either. I need you to buckle your seatbelt." I get a kick out of that. It's funny to me. But what's the truth in that is this: that no matter how great we are, we're not superheroes. No matter how amazing we are at some of the things that we do, no matter how good we are not superheroes. There is not a single superhero in the entire Bible except Jesus. And Jesus even put aside some of his superpowers for a season. And so I want us to know that as we navigate life storms, that we don't have to navigate them in our own strength, trying to superhero our way through the storms that life throws our way. We can trust in a God who will come in and rescue us and save the day. I want us to know that. And I don't really care what kind of storm you're going through, God is a rescuer and a restorer. Okay, there's three kinds of storms that we all experience. Three kinds of storms you're gonna experience in your life. The first kind of storm is the one that you bring on yourself. You made some bad decisions, you did some things that you shouldn't have done, and you caused a storm in your own life. The second kind of storm is a storm that somebody else brings on you. You didn't ask for it, you didn't tell them to do the things they did, but they did it, and now you have a storm going on in your world. And then the third kind of storm is the storm that is the result of living in a broken world. You didn't cause the cancer. No one else brought the cancer to you. You just live in a broken world, and you've got to navigate this storm that you're in right now. And I want to give you all some encouragement that God can see the storm. Matter of fact, he's above the storm. It's not taking him by surprise. And you can trust him in the midst of it all to bring you through it. So if we're going to talk about storms, we got to talk about my man Jonah. If anybody's dealt with a storm, it's going to be Jonah. If you know the story of Jonah, and I don't know, maybe you just know the VeggieTales version, that's cool. That's cool. As long as you get the point, Jonah was somebody who was told by God to go and share the truth about who God's character was, and that people, and that they should stop living a certain way to the Ninevites. And Jonah didn't want to do it. Jonah's like, I don't want to tell them that goodness and mercy is coming their way and they need to turn. Like, sometimes we get like that. Why are we? We get bitter. Sometimes we're like, well, God, why are you showering them with love? It's not our job to wonder why God is merciful and kind to people that we think don't deserve it. It's our job to go share a little bit of heaven everywhere we go. Right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. God's been gracious and kind to us. So let's be gracious and kind to other people. And so Jonah doesn't want to do it. Right? He's like, I'm not doing it. Matter of fact, instead of going where he should have gone, he decided to go the exact opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. And isn't that us? God is telling us to move this way, and we're like, I want to go that way instead. And so that's what Jonah does, and he literally caused a storm in his own life. Like, not just an emotional, spiritual storm, like a literal storm. God brought a storm upon him in order to wake him up from what he was, his rebellion. And so in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest or storm, so that the ship was about to be broken up. The storm that Jonah caused was the result of his own disobedience. See, some of us are going through hell on earth because of the things that we've done. Now, let me make something clear to you. God is not punishing you or taking vengeance upon you for your bad decisions. Let me make this clear. God's not punishing you. He's already punished Jesus on the cross for your decisions. So what you're experiencing, maybe you're experiencing depression or anxiety because of your failure. Maybe you're dealing with the consequences of your actions on earth, but God is for you. He's not taking vengeance out on you. That's already been done. If anything, it's just discipline. Hebrews 12:6 says, God disciplines those whom he loves. If you've broken a law or a covenant or you hurt somebody deeply, there may be consequences. Sometimes they're relational, they're emotional, they're financial, but it's not a punishment. It's not vengeance. It may be discipline to get you to see, like, oh, you know what? This was not a good thing. I should not do this again. And guess what? Sometimes that discipline, most of the time, God is bringing something good out of it. The Bible says all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It doesn't say some things, doesn't say good things. It says all things work together. My son was just grounded not too long ago. I grounded him for 2 weeks from media. He thought the world had ended. What am I gonna do with my life? This is not fair. And I was like, man, it's crazy. Like, when I was a kid, you just go outside and play. I don't know. Just, but so for the first 2 days, he literally lost his mind. He's like walking around his room, just like circles. Week one, finds himself outside playing with a skateboard. Heading into the second week, he's practicing and learning how to do tricks on the skateboard. At the end of his 2 week time period, he says, I'm good, Dad. I want to stay out here and keep skateboarding. It's been 3 months. That's all the kid wants to do now. And what I'm telling you is this: God had something better for him in light of his discipline. The discipline was to bring about something better, something more enjoyable for him. So sometimes we get all upset at, look at what I've done to my life and decisions that I made, did this. No. God has something for you in all of that. The storm was not a punishment for Jonah. It was a wake-up call. And see, the root of his disobedience was his mistrust of God's goodness and God's intentions. The root of our disobedience is not trusting God. Sin is always rooted in refusing to believe that God is more dedicated to our good than we are. Right? God is more aware of what's best for us than we are. Sin is when we say, I want to do it my way instead of doing it God's way. We believe the enemy's lie that if we give God complete control, that we're going to be miserable. Oh, if I do it your way, God, it's not going to work out for me. That if we do it God's way, it's not going to work out. We end up saying, I just want to do it my way. I don't want to do it your way. Listen, let me tell you something. If you want to drive to New York City and you're going west, it's not possible. It's not possible. We want goodness, we want peace, we want happiness, and we want to do it some other way other than the way God has told us to do it. It's not going to happen. And you end up finding yourself coping with the decisions that you've made with drugs or alcohol or bad relationships. You're just trying to find a way to cure that pain that you've caused yourself. And God's saying, I have something so much better for you. Right? It's not like we ask for crisis in our lives. We're making bad decisions. We're not like saying, yeah, I can't wait till I just ruin my life. It's not like Adam and Eve are sitting around saying, yo, Eve, I got this idea. It's a little crazy. What if we ruin humanity? What do you think? Right? That's not what they were doing. They were chasing happiness, but they were doing it outside of the will of God. They didn't believe God had their best interests in mind, and it worked out terrible for them. See, when you try to end your suffering by sinning, you end up sinning your way into more suffering. Let me say it again. When you try to end your suffering by sinning, you end up sinning your way into more suffering. Sin is always, yeah. See, sin is always believing that something, that God is holding something back from us. That's a lie. So what I'm saying is this, we cannot take our crisis in our own hands. We have to give it to God. And we gotta be patient. God is never late, we're just impatient. He's never late, he's always on time, we're just impatient. God has many times not brought on the full consequences, the full punishment of what we deserve, because he's seen us seeking his face in seriousness. And that's all I'm saying is, man, if you've created some problems, some storms in your life, go seek the face of the Lord. He will relent. He'll move those clouds away and say, you know what? You are really seeking after me. And you've been doing it for a long time. And you're like, God, I've been doing this for a whole week. Come through. He's going to come through when it's time. You're going to be like my son for a little while, walking around the room, going crazy. It'll work out. God uses storms to wake us up. See, God uses storms in the Bible to talk about chaos, talk about difficult times. And sometimes those storms take an emotional and a mental toll on us. Imagine David running from Saul. David saying, God, you told me I was going to be king. And now Saul's trying to kill me. David didn't bring that on himself. Saul brought that on him. Saul brought a storm into his life. Sometimes storms are brought on you by other people. Your marriage is hard. Your parents didn't love you the way that they should. Maybe you don't even know your parents. Someone broke your heart. Someone destroyed your financial situation. All these particular things happen, and you're like, God, why me? And yet, sometimes this causes so much emotional stress. There's nothing worse than when you feel like, I did not deserve this. And sometimes it takes such an emotional toll on us that we end up mentally and emotionally distressed like Jonah. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 3, he says, therefore, O Lord, please take my life from me. It's better for me to die than to live. When you're in a place that low, it's a place where you don't believe God can change anything. You don't believe God can restore. Yes, he can. I know what it's like to be that low. I've been that low myself. I've seen people that low. I was in the Bronx, New York one particular time with my good friend Andy Mineo. Andy and I are walking in the Bronx, New York, late at night. It's not a wise thing to do, but I'm a 6'4 black man. I'm the threat. So it's like, what are we talking about? We're walking through the Bronx, and out of the corner of my eye, I see a young lady running full speed toward the edge of the Bronx Bridge. And I'm thinking to myself, is she racing? What is she doing? I'm like, Andy, what is this woman doing? He says, I don't know. It's New York, man. Just. But as I kept looking, I noticed she was running to jump off the bridge. And it was like an out-of-body experience that had me walk over, get over to her, and grab her right as she was jumping over that bridge. She fought me. She kicked me. She screamed, let me go, let me go. I'm trying to go meet God. I said, sweetheart, you can meet God on this side of the bridge. Yeah. By God's grace, she was saved and taken away and gotten the care that she needed. But what I want her to know more than anything is that if you woke up this morning, young lady, that's all the evidence you need to know that God is not done with you yet. Don't you give up. Don't you quit. I want you all to know that today, that if you woke up this morning, God is not done with you yet. You're in here today, right now, because God is working in you, through you, for you at this very moment. Yeah. He's a healer. He's waiting on you. He's there for you. Jonah found himself in a terrible place. He was depressed. He was an emotional wreck. In chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, it says, Jonah goes out to the city, east of the city. He made a booth for himself. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what will become of the city. Now the Lord appointed a plant, made it come up over Jonah so it might shade his head to save him from his discomfort. So he was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Y'all, sometimes we just need a little shade. Sometimes we need a little sign from God to remind us that he's near. We just need a little evidence that God is with us in the middle of our storm, in the middle of our chaos. God says, I know it looks like dust for miles, but I can bring water out of a rock. I am here. Psalm 121:5, one of my favorite psalms. It says, the Lord is the shade at your right hand. Now do me a favor, put your right hand up as high as you can. Get it up. You wore deodorant today. You're fine. You're okay. As far as your hand is from your body is as far as God will ever be from you. Now put your hand down. Where is it at? It's by your side. That's where God is all the time. He is by your side. He's the shade at your right hand. He's close to you when you're in trials and tribulations. And it's hard. I understand. With some of the trials and the storms that we're going through, they're hard, they're painful, they're a struggle, but God is there. Knowing he's there doesn't necessarily lessen the pain in the moment, but you can trust that he's got you. Water will be found in the desert. Shade will be found. God is with you. Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. It says, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. And let me tell you something. It says the valley of the shadow of death. You know how you get shadows? You need light. If the light is shining, if there's no shadow without light, the light is always there with you as you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. He's there. In 2 Samuel 22, David is singing a song of praise for God. 2 Samuel 22:34, it says, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. See, sometimes God doesn't necessarily rescue you the way you think he should. He doesn't do it the way that you want him to rescue you. It says, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. Now, when I thought about this, I had my little Western American context in mind, and I thought about all the deer that I knew, and I was like, deers, mountains don't really, I don't see how having deer feet helps me. Just don't get it. But when you go to Israel, I was in Israel, and I saw the mountains that David was talking about that he was hiding in and dealing with. And he says, you give me feet like a deer. The deer out there, these Middle Eastern deer were capable of scaling mountains, scaling heights, going through these incredible crevices. And David is saying, you give me feet like a deer. And what he's ultimately telling us is, listen, God, you don't have to make my path easy. Just give me feet for the path. Get me through it. Give me the feet for the path. It's not an easy path. And God may not give you easy, but he'll give you provision. He may not stop the storm, but he'll give you an umbrella. That's what I'm trying to tell us. I want us to all know this. He's with us. He's for us. Sometimes we're sitting there saying, God, make it go away. Make it go away. And what we should be saying is, God, make a way. Make a way. Like my grandma would always say, he may not get you out, baby, but he'll get you through. God will get you through. This leads me to my last point, is that God will deliver us if we trust him fully. Right? You have to take God at his word. Hear me when I say this. You have to take God at his word. All throughout the scriptures, what does he say? All throughout the Psalms, it says, he answers, he delivers, he saves, he restores. It's like he's reminding us of what he does. He's saying, this is what I do. I know the problems that you have right now. This is what I do. And I can imagine you sitting there looking at me saying, Lecrae, I hear what you're saying, but you don't understand my situation. You don't know what it's like to deal with what I'm dealing with. I am going through something that's different than anything you could possibly grasp. Let me tell you something. You're right. I don't understand. I mean, it's not saying much because I don't understand my 11-year-old's math, but you're right. I don't get it, but I don't have to because God does. God does understand. Your situation is different than Rahab's. It's different than Paul's. It's different than David's. I get it. What you're dealing with is way different than what they dealt with. But guess what? Different situation, same God. Same God then, same God now. He can handle what you're dealing with. He can handle what you're going through. He can handle all of the circumstances around what you're battling. It's the same God that pardons prisoners, heals diseases, restores broken relationships, reverses the diagnosis, brings wayward children home, sends money to pay overdue bills, fixes marriages, cures anxiety, depression, different situations, same God. The same God that is close to you as your right hand. You gotta take your storms to him. He will deliver you. That's what he does. You gotta put him to the test. You have to determine that you cannot win this battle in your own strength. You're not a superhero and you don't have to be. You're a child of God. Talk to God about your problems. Let God fight your battles. You can't fight them on your own. You know, Jonah was in a dark place. He's running from God. He's left the people who love him. He tried to take his own life. He gets swallowed by this giant fish. He's tired. I know some of you are tired. What does he do? He's helpless. He's tired. He has no more strength. God, the world is chaotic right now. What do I do? I'll tell you what Jonah does in chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. God will answer you. God will deliver you if you will trust him. Some of us have been dealt a bad hand. We didn't ask for these storms in our life. We didn't ask for these circumstances that we're having to deal with. And some of us have brought on our own storms. I mean, we're out here doing the rain dance, right? That's okay. Because God will deal with both kinds of storms. Just bring it to him. God does not ignore our sincere desires. He didn't ignore Jonah, and he won't ignore yours. God is telling you right now, look at your life. Look at your life. Look at the countless things I've done for you. Look what I've brought you through. I did not bring you this far to leave you. God will meet you where you are in the storm. He loves you so much. He's willing to part the sea for you. Make water come out of a rock. I told you before, I was in Israel. I went out to the Dead Sea, and I heard that the salt content is so high that you can't sink. So I had to try it for myself. I get out there, and I noticed, wow, I'm floating without trying. I told my buddy, who was about 350 pounds, I said, come out here, man. You can't sink. He says, yes, I can. I said, you can't sink. He said, listen, man, I want to come out there, but if I'm honest with you, I don't know how to swim. I said, it doesn't matter. You don't need to. So he starts to wade out just a little bit, a little more, a little more. Gets to a place where it's a drop off just like this. He doesn't know it, and he steps off, and he can't feel the bottom anymore. He starts to panic, starts flailing, saying, help me, I'm drowning. He grabs my arm tight. He says, help me, I'm gonna drown. And I reassured him. I said, let go. You cannot drown. You cannot sink. He slowly let go and realized he was floating. In that scary, vast sea, he could not drown. And God is saying that in this scary world that's vast and big and mind-blowingly scary, he won't let you drown. God won't let you drown. Love is at the center of this. Jesus will not let you drown. He took on the storm for us. Jesus drowned so you don't have to. And there's a pattern here. The Jonah near death circumstances, a picture of Jesus saving us. See, Jonah almost dies in order to save some men on a boat. Jesus dies in order to save everyone in the world. Both of them are on boats sleeping in violent storms, and both of them have to be woken up by people crying, "Hey, why are you asleep in the middle of the storm?" The sailors woke up Jonah saying, "How can you be asleep?" The disciples woke up Jesus saying, "How can you be asleep? We're going to drown." But what's funny about this is that after the sea was calmed in both circumstances, everyone was more afraid. How did this happen? How was this calmed? That's what God's looking for in our lives. He's looking for us to say, "Whoa, God, how did you stop this storm in my life? How did you stop this storm in my life?" God's looking for that opportunity for you to say, "Whoa, you gotta trust him. You gotta trust him." The bigger picture is that a bigger sacrifice brings a bigger salvation. Jonah sacrificed his body in that sea to save a group of sailors. Jesus sacrificed his body to save the entire world. You gotta trust him. He drowned so you don't have to. Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days, and when he came out, Nineveh was saved. Jesus was in the belly of the earth for 3 days, and when he came out, all of us were saved. There's a storm in your life that God is using to strengthen your faith, to remind you that he's always already promised he's gonna make a way. And your storm is different than his, and his storm is different than hers, and all of our storms are different than each other's. But guess what? Different storms, same God. Same God. So here's what I wanna do. I want us to pray. Every eye closed, every eye closed, every head bowed. Let's pray. And I want you to acknowledge, if you're in the middle of the sea, I want you to acknowledge that. I want you to think about that reality. If you've been trying to swim on your own, I want you to acknowledge that reality. I want you to think about how you've been swimming in your own strength and you didn't have to. Father God, I pray for everybody out here right now. I pray that you work on their hearts in this very moment. Allow them to see they've been swimming in their own strength. They haven't been trusting Jesus. Maybe some of them, Lord God, have never truly trusted Jesus. They've been trying to do this on their own the entire time, and now they're tired. What does a tired person need to do in the middle of the sea but raise their hand and say, "Help me, save me"? Right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, if you're in the middle of the sea and you can acknowledge that you're tired, you need Jesus, just raise your hand. Just acknowledge that. I see you. I just want to pray for you. I see you. Oh my God, I see you. Just raise your hand. Acknowledge it. I'm tired. I don't have what it takes. I need Jesus in the middle of this. Raise your hand. I see you. It's okay. You cannot be treated for a problem until you admit that it is there. You've got to admit that you need help. If that's you, just raise your hand, admit it, say, I need you. There you go. It's okay. We've all had to admit this in order to come into his loving arms. I just want to pray for you. Lord God, I pray for every hand out here right now. Every hand that's raised, that's admitted, God, I'm drowning in my own strength. Please rescue me. Lord, would you rescue them? Would you give them a sense of assurance that, God, there is no storm too big for you That there is nothing you cannot handle, that whatever their circumstances are, it's not too big. I don't care. You don't care. Divorce, death, incarceration, addiction, none of them are too great for you to bring restoration to. None of those storms can stop anything, can stop your hand. So, Father God, give them encouragement. Give them strength. Give them wisdom. Help them navigate life moving forward. Help them to know they don't have to be ashamed, that we are all the same. We are all in need of grace. And provide them with that grace right now, Lord. Allow them to acknowledge that Jesus has beaten death, that what we deal with on this earth is not bigger than eternal death, and you already beat it. Father God, I pray for them. And I pray for everybody out here who's with somebody walking through a storm, that you would give them the strength to walk with their loved ones through the storm. Encourage them. Give them the strength to help them know they're not alone. Oh, we love you, God. We trust you. You're kind, you're gracious. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.